Now, what does Jesus know about cutting remarks, insults, insinuations? Does he know anything about it firsthand?
Do you struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today on the subject of faith. This time it's faith and gratitude. And I'm taking as my springboard Pamela Reeve's little book, Faith Is. She says, faith is thanking God for the specific thing that upsets me. Faith is thanking God for the specific thing that upsets me. Very likely someone who's listening is terribly upset about something that was said. That can really get to us, can't it? An insult, an insinuation, a nasty crack, a rude or thoughtless word, a lie, misrepresentation, misunderstanding, whatever it was. Faith goes directly to Jesus with it instead of directly to the phone. That's the reality of faith. Now, does it make any difference in that common occurrence where somebody steps on your toes emotionally, where somebody says something really uncalled for? Christians are not people who escape things like that, but Christians are people who ought to respond differently than someone in the world, someone who is not a Christian, would respond. What is the difference? Well, we have a Savior, and He has come not just to give us a free ticket to heaven and to save us from the penalty of our sin, but He's come to save us from our sins. And if there's anything calculated to tempt me to sin in word, it's when somebody says something nasty or unfair or an insinuation or an insult or whatever. The temptation immediately is to snap back with a brilliant and withering rejoinder. But faith responds with thanksgiving. Is that your immediate response to something that upsets you? I don't think that comes naturally for any of us, but that's what real faith ultimately does. Thanks God for the specific thing that upsets us. Now, we don't have to wait till we become spiritual giants to do that. You can do it right this minute. Whatever it is that has upset you, how about just taking the bull by the horns, as it were? Never mind how you feel about it. Never mind how you feel. Just go directly to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. You have something to teach me in this uncalled for thing. Show me. Now, what does Jesus know about cutting remarks, insults, insinuations? Does he know anything about it firsthand? Well, he knows a lot about it. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, we read, think of him who endured all that sinful men could say against him, and you will not lose your purpose or your courage. What did he do? He was silent. Sometimes he spoke in a parable. Sometimes he nailed his opponents with a piercing word. But he always committed himself to him who judges justly. In 1 Peter 2:23, we read, he committed no sin. He was convicted of no falsehood. When he was abused, he did not retort with abuse. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but committed his cause to the one who judges justly. Committed his cause to the one who judges justly. Now that really is the route to peace. It's my temptation always to think of all the brilliant things that I could have said that I didn't think of at the time. You always think of the really crushing retort later, don't you, lying in bed at night. But if instead of trying to think of all the crushing retorts or the brilliant rejoinders, if we just simply quietly in our hearts committed the whole thing to him who judges justly, because whether we admit it or not, the chances are that there is some truth in that cutting remark. There may be something there that we need to hear, and we need to take to him who judges justly and say, Lord, is there any truth in this? Show me. Enable me humbly to admit it and to confess it to you. My father was the editor of a Christian magazine, and in that position, he got a lot of criticism. And often, he would hear rumors about himself. It was always his policy to commit it to the Lord first and to go directly to the person to find out if the thing reported to him was actually the thing that was said. And if there was, in fact, any truth in it, then to rectify that. Peter also says in the fourth chapter of his first epistle, the 14th verse, if you should suffer for your virtues, you may count yourselves happy. Have no fear of them, do not be perturbed, but hold the Lord Christ in reverence in your hearts. God knows the truth about the thing. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, if you are looked upon as rather peculiar because you do homeschooling or because you have a big family, two things which are always looked upon as askance, if people think you're being too scrupulous in your attitude toward tithing or toward the keeping of the Sabbath, if they write you off as a pitiful legalist, when the truth is that you have been obedient in some small private matter that God has been very clear with you about, do you feel the need to defend yourself? Or can you simply commit your cause to him who judges rightly? Can you surrender your fears and not be perturbed, but simply go on holding the Lord Christ in reverence in your heart? Faith thanks God for the privilege. We are blessed because, as the Bible says, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But what if the thing that upsets you is true? You deserved it. Yes, but she shouldn't have said it. It was not her place to say it to me. Well, she did say it. So then what is the response of faith? Turn it over to God. It's God's business. Your business is faith, looking to the Lord in faith that he wants to teach you something and you're ready to learn. The cross cuts deeply, doesn't it? Here we are again with that whole question of what you really aim at in life. What's your purpose? Is it to be like him? Conformable to his death? Then die. Just die. Oh, wow. Whew. Wait a minute. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying what the Bible says. Romans 8, 12 and 13. It follows, my friends, that our lower nature has no claim upon us. We are not obliged to live on that level. If you do so, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death all the base pursuits of the body, then you will live. Now, I can't think of a better opportunity to put to death the base pursuits of the body than to shut my mouth when I want to make a brilliant retort. I need to thank God for the opportunity to keep my mouth shut. Thank you, Lord, for this specific thing that was said or done that upsets me. I'm reminded of Amy Carmichael's words in her little book, If. If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in a cool unfriendliness, even though friendship is possible, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Now, how can I learn that lesson? I can't learn it. without the opportunity. And the opportunity is the very thing that upsets me. Somebody leaving dishes in the sink. Maybe you have a roommate who does not do his or her share of the housework. It really is irritating, isn't it, to come back from a hard day's work. You did your part this morning before you went to work. You come back, and the place is a shambles. How about if you find that the toilet has been plugged up? What if you see that flashing blue light in your rearview mirror, and then you hear, "Rawr, rawr," and along comes the state policeman? A speeding ticket just when you're trying to get to wherever it is that you've got to pick up your children? Oh, my. Plugged up toilets, dishes in the sink, speeding tickets. Your husband not fixing the thing that he promised to fix for you. Is that the specific thing that upsets you the most? Try thanking God. Just turn to him and say, "Lord, you know about the sink and the toilet and the ticket. And this dear, beloved, sweet husband of mine, whom I love with all my heart, but he said he would fix that hinge. He said he would fix that squeaky door. He said he would do this washer in the sink. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to exercise the faith that thanks you for the thing that upsets me." And you know, it is really amazing. But one little tiny step like that brings you a little bit closer to conformity to the image of Christ. Don't you want to be like him? I do. Help us, Lord. Help us by your mercy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.